Would you introduce yourselves, please?
I am Garen Dupree, and I play bass for Isley.
I'm Chantel Dupree, D'Agostino, and I play guitar and sing a little bit.
Throwing last names in there. I'm Sherry Dupree Bemis while we're doing that, and I play guitar and sing.
I guess I'll follow up. I'm Stacy Dupree King, and I play keyboard and sing.
So I'm trying to think if I can think of another modern band, and I say modern band, that is this family. Can anybody think? I mean, because we could go through all the old bands and all the fake bands. So you guys are like the Partridge Family and the Osmonds in real life.
I think there are other sibling bands, but I just haven't heard of them.
This is kind of off the hook, yeah. I maybe we'll influence a new generation of sibling musicians. Full-on family bands, keep it all in the family.
Especially with this tour, people can't believe it when they say, so who's opening for you guys? Say, well, we're bringing out our little sister, Christy, and she's going to open for us. Like, seriously, like, come on.
So I'll fill in a couple of things. It was like age 8, age 10, whatever. See, I read that, right? Your parents ran a venue, which gave you the opportunity to do all of that lovely, practicing badly because your parents are not going to not book you the next time around. Although they might.
Garen actually started the whole band.
Yeah, he did.
He started the band, and he's been the kind of the director of the whole thing, really. And he only decided to join, after we'd been playing for about 5 or 6 years. So yeah, that was really nice of him.
Like our manager, he actually, counselor.
He picks out all of our clothes.
He does.
Yeah, he's our stylist.
Yeah.
You were originally the Towheads. Thank goodness you got rid of that. But I guess the bigger question is, do you remember any of the other names in between that you came? Because I didn't see that anywhere. So I'm kind of interested in all the names somewhere between Towheads and Mos Eisley that eventually the Mos went away.
Well, we did use Sinclair for a while. I don't.
Our first Coldplay run, which was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we were Sinclair.
Which
was just, I
Neverland
think.
Was tossed around for a while.
Don't even mention Neverland. That was the worst I do.
You just mentioned it.
No, I know, but I had to.
Just
it was just
get
it's
it
too
out.
Embarrassing.
We're
Let's just be
not
honest.
Cool in this interview.
Like, yeah. No, Sinclair was okay. Our great granddad worked at a Sinclair gas station. That was
the
tie.
The dinosaur.
Yeah.
I do remember exactly when I got your first record. I do remember it was on a major label. I do remember I was hyped by that major label in a big way. But I can't tell you how many bands that are successful bands I've talked to over the past 3 or 4 or 5 years that, number one, have had to fight to get their master back. But it does say, I read the small print, it says, under exclusive license to Equal Vision, and then it says very politely something about that past label. You sold enough CDs. So was it more an artistic thing? Because I read that the A&R that you had an A&R person that liked you.
We were at Warner Brothers for, a good 6-7 years.
We were going to part ways with Warner Brothers, and then they begged us to stay. They said, oh, well, you can sign to Sire. Craig Aronson was going to become the president of Sire. He's like, I'll have all this extra power, and I'll be able to push you and do all this great stuff, and I'll have my team, and they'll be on my side. And then once they heard the record, his team didn't get it, and they said basically, on second thought, we're not going to be able to do all the stuff that we promised.
Yeah, well, I mean, Craig, honestly, cause I don't want to say anything bad about him because our A&R guy, he's still our cheerleader. He's still a big cheerleader for us, and he was just came to us and was really honest and was kind of like, my team, guys, I didn't get the reaction I thought I was going to get. He's like, I don't think they're not going to care about this record. They're not going to do what you want. He's like, I really think you guys should go. So then, of course, we tried to go, and then they didn't want to give us the record. So, they still, in 10 years, they get it back. Which, they still got us, by the,
get the record back in 10 years?
Yeah,
yep. Just in case anything happens.
They
serious?
Get the cred.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my, that's the price of getting.
Now, most bands, period, big bands, and when I say big bands, I'm saying big, quote, indie bands, would like to have 68,000 people liking them on Facebook. This record, from what I read, is actually selling.
Yeah.
You're selling units. What's wrong with you?
I mean, after we had about 2 years kind of downtime struggling to get the record and just all that, you know, mess, we honestly had no expectations, and I mean that. I had none. I didn't know. I didn't, not that I didn't care, but I knew that our fans would like the record just because our fans are always so supportive.
There's all sorts of interesting ways that this can be approached. My favorite, you know, that there's a Lennon and McCartney in the band. But what I really like is not the Lennon and McCartney thing, because I understand. But the methodology that I read, and tell me if it's true, that whoever writes the song gets to sing it?
It mostly ends up that way just because if we write something, it's kind of in our range, perfect range. And it's like, and it's not even on the new record. There's some songs that I wrote that the parts that I wrote were too low, so I just hand those over to Stace.
You guys are equipment geeks. When you read about it, it's like, oh, I play this guitar, I play that guitar.
Basically, my husband is a luthier, and he builds all of our custom guitars, and we play them. And
oh, life is tough.
Yeah, I know. I'm so spoiled.
Jeez Louise.
So, yeah, Todd.
Are you poor?
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
We're
talking about your LaRose guitars. Yes. They're amazing. I love them.
The coolest thing ever was he built me a Jazzmaster, and he let me draw on it. I do art, so he let me just draw on the whole guitar, and then he sealed it up. And so it's really cool getting to something like that.
This is kind of a darker record. So, but yet, a year and a half later that you've been through it, do you look back and say, I mean, I know you can't say, I'm glad we went through this so we can get this record, because that's hard to do. But do you?
No, it's funny. I actually literally said that just the other day. Like, that exact quote, because I was kind of just like, I mean, it is hard, and it was rough, but it's, you know, you stuff like that really, you know, gives you an outlook on life, and it kind of, you know, it's good to go through hard stuff. It is. I mean, I know it's just not fun, and you don't think you'll ever get out of it when you're in it, but, and then, you know, there's something good always comes from it, and this record definitely, and, you know, more than just the record, obviously, like, we had a lot of personal growth and just, like, you know, great relationships that came out of it, everything had changed, and so it was totally a blessing it all happened, but definitely sucked, but we did get this record out of it.
I invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.